Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for what the Spirit is saying to the church. Now, the entrance of your word, we know, brings light and gives understanding. We ask that you cause that light to shine into our hearts, even on today, giving us revelation, knowledge, hearing. Let us hear, seeing, let us see, and let us understand what the Spirit is saying, even at this time. Give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. Now give inspiration, Lord, to both the speakers and the hearers, according to thy will, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. Good afternoon, everyone. We're back in the Emerge series. It seems like every time we turn around, we're back to the Emerge and Believe series. Praise God. But I tell you something, you know, the Lord, we started to talk about, you know, the season. There was a season in God's mind. He said, look, according to Psalm 102 and verse 13, thou shalt arise. Hallelujah. You will arise, Lord, and you will bless your people. Favor your people. For it is time to favor Zion. Hallelujah. The Lord said, well, it is time. You know, and there's something about what God is doing. First, he has to deliver us from hard bondage, you know, and give us rest. So that was a series of let my people go, that they may serve me. And once the Lord gives you rest, then we see what others did in the Bible. You know, that when God had given, for instance, David rest all around, you know, the first thing that came to his mind was that, well, I need to do more, you know, for the Lord. He didn't think of doing less. You know, God doesn't give us rest for us to retire. He gives us rest for us to do more. Yeah. So rest from all of his enemies. Second Samuel chapter 7. Let's just read that. This is more of a review of how we got to where we are now in these lessons. Let's just put it that way. In the book of 2 Samuel chapter 7, there was something in David's mind, you know. Verse 1 says, and it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all of his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see, now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go and do all that is in thy heart, for the Lord is with thee. So, when God had given him rest, well, he thought of building a house unto the Lord. You know, but the Lord said to him that he was not the one going to do it, but the Lord appreciated the fact that it was in his heart to do so. Of course, it was Solomon that would eventually do it. But David made provision and put up a great store and great treasure even for Solomon. I mean, it was just amazing what God gave David to be able to put up, say, a good man lay a treasure for his children. Hallelujah. And so Solomon also had rest, you know, from his enemies. In fact, it was prophesied, prophesied even before he came, that the Lord would do that. Let's read, First Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 9. Just a quick background before we really get into, into today's lesson. Hallelujah. Here's what the Lord said unto him. This is the place where, David really wanted to do this. But God didn't want him to do it. He wanted Solomon to do it. So David made plans for the temple. David said, this is the house of the Lord and this is the altar. David commanded to gather together strangers and prepared iron in abundance, bought stones. He did all of these things. He got, brass doors for the gates and brass in abundance without weight. See, many people don't realize that David was the one that put all that stuff together for Solomon. And also cedar trees in abundance, he did. And, the Sidonites, the Zidonites, those are people from Zidon or Zidon and Tyre, they brought much cedar wood to David. And David, he said to, he just put so many things. He said, look, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and that house to be built for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent. Glory to God. It was actually David that put all the plans together. People thought that Solomon did it, but David was the one that made preparation. And he had it in his heart to do it. I will therefore, he said, look, this thing must be exceeding magnificent. Of fame and of glory throughout all countries. This was in David's heart because God had given him rest. I will therefore now make preparation for it. He was the one that made preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly for the temple even before his death. Why? Because the Lord had given him rest and he wanted to do it. So he called Solomon his son and charged him to build an house for the Lord of Israel, Lord God of Israel. So David was the one that actually gave charge, Solomon. David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, thou hast shed too much blood, made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because I shed a lot of blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee. Now, listen to this. This was what the Lord told David. He shall be a man of rest. Concerning Solomon, this is what God told David. And I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon. And I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. Now, when you have peace and quietness, it's a great opportunity and the perfect environment, in which to build. And the Lord said, he shall build an house for my name. He shall be my son. I'll be his father. I'll establish his throne. The throne of his kingdom and so forth. So now David gave charge to his son. Now my son, the Lord be with you and prosper you and, get up and build the house of the Lord, he told him. Even as God has said of thee, only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding. David already prayed for that thing that Solomon got, that wisdom, and give you charge concerning Israel. Thou mayest keep the Lord thy God. Then shall thou prosper. If thou shalt take heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments of the Lord, which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of a good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. Hallelujah. So David, he made preparation. And furthermore, he told him, now behold, in my trouble, I have prepared for the house of the Lord. See, 100,000 talents of gold, and a million, that's 1,000,000 talents of silver, and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance, timber and stone I have prepared, and thou mayest add on to it. If you want, you may add on to it, and thou mayest add on to it. But there are workmen with thee in abundance. I've made hewers of stone, workers of timber, manner cunning men, and of the gold and silver and the brass and the iron. There is no number. Now arise therefore and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. Praise God. So you see, all the things, you know, you may or may not know this part of the story, but all of these things David did. Wasn't exactly Solomon, making preparation, abundance of treasure for Solomon to use. And the reason, well, guess what he said. You know, finally, in verse 17 of 1 Chronicles 22, David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon, his son, saying, is not the Lord your God with you? And had not he given you rest on every side? Well, now, therefore, you know, he said, you know, the Lord has given the inhabitants of the land into my hand, and the Lord has subdued it before the Lord and before his people. So, because I did all of that, the Lord did all that through me, you now can enjoy rest. So, what do you do when you have rest? Set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. And arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord, the holy vessels of God, to the house that is built to the name of the Lord. Now, so, you know, the purpose that was in David's heart as a result of, you know, finally coming into rest was to build something. Something magnificent, he said, that would be glorious. It was David that had all these plans. Now, so, but for the Lord, what the Lord is doing for us at this time, you know, there are three stages. Number one, he's got to bring us deliverance, grant us deliverance. You know, that deliverance is so important. That was why we did the series on coming out of Egypt. Exodus, as you might call it, was for the people to come out, you know. So, the Lord will give us peace and deliverance from our enemies. Let me read something to you here in Luke chapter 1. You know, Zacharias, what he prophesied, you know, about the time that John the Baptist, you know, was being born. He says here in verse 67 of Luke chapter 1, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us. Now, God is the one that grants deliverance. Grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. So, you see, the same principle is revealed here. God will first deliver you out of the hand of your enemies. He will deliver you from hard bondage and hard servitude and give you rest. Why? That you may serve him and do more for him. It's not for us to sit down you know, and just be gallivanting all over the place after God gives us rest. No, it is for us to actually build, and that is this kingdom that must be built. You know, it's already been established, you know, in the heavenlies, but we must make it happen upon the earth. You know, now let's see the next phase after the deliverance, and hand in hand with the deliverance must come a transfer of wealth. You know, as you might remember, that the children of Israel, when they were leaving, you know, the land of Egypt, the Bible says, you know, they robbed their enemies. Basically, God gave them a strategy. He said, look, ask of gold, silver, and all these things from the from the people of Egypt. And God set them up to the point where the people of Egypt would be, they would give anything to get rid of Israel. That's right. So that was why God put all those plagues, you know, because before that, they would probably not have done it. In fact, they would not have done it. But God, he put the plagues upon them. The last of the plagues being that they, you know, every one of them lost, you know, their firstborn. And it was, my goodness, it was something. And when the Lord caused all that evil to happen in the land, well, you know, they were ready to let the people go. Not only let them go, give them anything they needed. In fact, they thrust it upon them. Let's read just one or two places in Exodus chapter 12. We read from about verse 36 or so, you know, how that these people, you know, let me see. And the children of Israel, you know, verse 40, let me read it from verse 35. Exodus 12 and 35. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed. Well, this was not a borrowing that they were going to pay back. Of the Egyptians, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they gave to them, lent to them such things as they required, and they spoiled. This is the real part of it. They spoiled the Egyptians. There was a transfer of wealth that went as part of the story of this Exodus. Now, it's also a back payment, you might call it, for all the languishing that the children of Egypt put upon the children of Israel. You know, so God is going to turn the tables now, hallelujah, and bring them out with silver and gold. In Psalm 105 and verse 37, he says, he brought Israel out of Egypt with silver and gold. Hallelujah. Now, so that was the transfer of wealth. So that's stage one, is deliverance. You know, breaking forth and breaking the bands. I will break the Assyrian in my land, and etc. And I will cause you to go upright, deliver you from the hard bondage. And part two of that is transfer of wealth. You know, that's got to happen. And God is doing it for a reason. You know, for a reason. There's a reason for it, and that's why we get to in part three. The reason is for the rebuilding. Now, in the case, in the time of David, it was building. David had a mind to build because that was the first time. But now we will be rebuilding. And prophetically, we're rebuilding the ruins of the tabernacle that David first built through Solomon. David was the one that made preparation. And he built it vicariously through his son. You know, but the whole thing is in ruins now for a long time. So Amos, the prophet, gave the vision and the pronunciation. And he talked about something that is going to happen in some day. Well, that day is here. Jesus used to say things like, "The hour cometh," and sometimes he'll say "the hour cometh" and leave it like that, but sometimes he'll say "the hour cometh and now is." Well, let me say, ladies and gentlemen, that the hour cometh and now is. The day that the Lord said, "I will raise up," according to Amos 9 and 11, the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and I will close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins. And I will build it again as of old times. That's right. You know, but the Lord needs builders. Come build with me, saith the Lord, is the invitation at this time. The Lord needs builders. Just like in the time of Nehemiah and Ezra, they needed builders. And we were even given, you know, the chronologies and so forth of all the people in their families that stood and builded. You know, one person built this way, this family built this way, and next to them built that one, next to them built that one, next to them built that one. They had to build, you know, and the Lord gave them favor to build. We saw the Cyrus mission yesterday, and I want to talk a little more today about that Cyrus anointing. Praise the Lord. I talked a bit yesterday about Cyrus. You know, Cyrus was a king of kings, actually, you know, because his kingdom ruled over the world at the time, the kingdom of Babylon and all these things, you know, but he knew not the Lord. As a matter of fact, when the Lord chose him, the Lord revealed to us that this man did not know God at all, but yet God chose him. And I'm going to declare to us prophetically something here this morning. Praise the Lord. That God is bringing this Cyrus anointing. It's not necessarily upon the people of God. You know, the people of God has their own mandate. But there are the people of the world that have amassed wealth, whether by evil intentions, whether on the backs of poor people, however they did it, you know, they don't know it yet. Just like this man, Cyrus, didn't know it. But when it was time, God got a hold of him, you know, and look, there is who has resisted his will, saith the Lord. You can't do it. You know, God even raised up Pharaoh. He said, "For this purpose, I raised you up to harden your heart so that I might show my glory." Look, Pharaoh thought he was the one doing whatever, you know, refusing everything, but he didn't know that he was a pawn in God's hands, you know, to bring about this tremendous fame for the name of the Lord. Now, in Isaiah chapter 45, God begins to speak concerning this Cyrus. We read it yesterday. I want to bring it again today because it's so important. The Cyrus anointing is what I'm talking about today in this part two of the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. The Cyrus anointing. Thus said the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holding. You know, Well, there is something that the Lord wants him to do. He said, I will go before thee. I will make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass, cut in sunder the bars of iron, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. Why? That thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, I am the God of Israel. Now, for Jacob my servant's sake, and even for Israel my elect, have I called thee. So all of these things, even though God's telling Cyrus these things, it's not really for benefit of Cyrus. It's the instrument that God's going to use. The benefit is coming, he said, to my people and for my elect. I have surnamed thee, even though you didn't know me. I am the Lord. I'm going to tell him, you know, I'm going to tell you here. I am the Lord. There is none else. There's no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. He didn't know the Lord, but the Lord had a preparation that God was going to make him do. You know, that they may know, that people may know from the rising of the sun, that's from the east, unto the west, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord. And when he puts, you know, his signature on it like that, well, that's it. So the Lord has a plan, and this Cyrus anointing is coming. Well, this anointing was in place even after Cyrus had died. And another king came up, and all these people, Darius and so on, you know, and in the stories of the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, those two books actually go together, even though it looks like they're written apart. But in the book of Ezra, chapter 6, you know, we read, you know, what they were doing, you know, and that some of you will know the story, you know, that they were, you know, trying to rebuild the ruins of Judah, I mean, Jerusalem, and also try to rebuild the building and so forth, the temple and all that built. But it wasn't easy because they had enemies that hindered the work and tried to frustrate their work so that they would not be able to do it, you know, and you know, those enemies even rose up against them. They wrote a letter, you know, to Artaxerxes, the king, and told him that, look, these Jews have come up from Jerusalem. They're trying to rebuild this rebellious and bad city. And they've tried, you know, starting to set up the walls. They told them they're forming the foundations. No, let the king be aware of this, they told him. If you allow this city to be built and the walls to be set up again, they will not pay their taxes. They will not pay toll or tribute or custom or taxes. You know, again, you know, they will become our people and they will be independent. And there will be no more subject unto you, and it will be to the damage of the revenue of the kings. Now, you know, we are the ones that have charge of the king's palace, they told us. You know, therefore, we can't just stand by, they told him rather, can't just stand by and see the king's dishonor. Therefore, have we sent and certified the king. All of these I'm paraphrasing from out of Ezra chapter 4. And then he said, look, let search be made in the book of the records of your fathers. And you will find in the book of those records, and know that this city, this Jerusalem city, is a rebellious city. They are proud. They don't like to submit to anybody, you know, and so forth. They have their own way. They have their own God that they say they serve. They will not follow the kings and so on. You know, so if you allow them, this place was destroyed for a reason. Let it be like that. If you allow them to rebuild it, well, it's going to be to the damage of the kings. You know, say, look, search and you will find that from old time, this city has been like this, rebellious and hurtful to kings and provinces. you know, they moved sedition. And they're saying they always, they never wanted to be under anybody. You know, for this cause, this city was destroyed. So better let the king know. We certify the king that if you allow this city to be built again, and the walls thereof set up, by this means you have no portion anymore on this side of the river. So they sent unto the king, you know, and so forth, you know. And then, you know, when they got the letter, you know, said, well, so the king commanded, let search be made, you know. And he found indeed that this city of old time had actually made insurrection against kings and had rebellion and so forth. And he knew that, he read, they said there were mighty kings over Jerusalem and ruled over countries, you know. Now, he said, look, they told the king, give commandment now and let these people cease this work. Let this city not be builded, you know, and then, you know, and so on. So he told them, said, look, until I say otherwise, let these buildings stop, you know, and why should there be damage to the hurt of the kings, he said. So they did that. But on the other hand, you know, so the walk actually stopped. It stopped for some time. Well, and then another king arose called Darius. Well, you know, the anointing that God placed in Cyrus, you continue in this Darius. So when this Darius came, God raised up some prophets like Haggai, Zechariah, and all these people. You know, they began to strengthen the hands of the people. They began to prophesy unto them. You know, Zerubbabel and the rest of them. You know, they began to prophesy. Say, well, you started this work. The hands of Zerubbabel laid this foundation. His hands will also finish it. You are here when you started. You're going to finish it. Be not dismayed. I mean, they started to, you know, they started to encourage the people. And of course, so they started again. And then people came back, you know, their enemies came back to them and said, look, you know, who commanded you to build this house? Make up these walls. And they asked for their names. Give us your names. And so forth. And then, you know, don't you know what the king has said, that this cannot be done? King Artaxerxes has said, you know, and so on. Well, they said, they told the people, they said, look, this is the place that God gave us, and this place shall be built. It was because our fathers rebelled that God allowed it to be destroyed. But now, coming back, you know, and they're telling, look, in the first year of King Cyrus of Babylon, the same King Cyrus made a decree to build this house. They told him, so look, even before Artaxerxes, Cyrus made this decree. And they said, so they, you know, they said, wow. So there was this challenge going on. The word of Artaxerxes, or Xerxes, I don't know how to pronounce it, versus, well, the word that Darius had, I mean, Cyrus had put in place even before that. So they came, you know, then they themselves made petition to Darius and said, look, we want you to make search. I mean, don't start from the places where, and don't stop where the former king, you know, looked. Look even before that and search and see how God spoke to Cyrus before. So this Darius, he also had the anointing of Cyrus upon him. He had the anointing to favor the people of God. It was upon him as well. So he said, look, all right, you know, remember this man, he loved the people of God. He loved even Daniel. He loved, you know, he always loved the people. So in his heart, he said, look, made a decree, let search be made, the rolls and so forth, the treasures that were laid up in Babylon. And then they found the rolls. They found, you know, this thing. And they found where it was written. In the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus king made a decree concerning the house of the Lord, which is at Jerusalem, let the house be builded, the place where they offer sacrifice. Let the foundations thereof be strongly laid. And he gave instructions. Let the height be 70 cubits, the breadth 70 you know, three and so on. Great stones, new timber, and let expand. Listen to this. This is the Cyrus anointing that God has preserved, you know, prepared. They may not know it yet, but coming. So let expenses be given out of the king's house. Now, this, you know, they're not going to transfer all that wealth to the hands of the builders. Not for them to just, you know, go on a personal shopping spree. No. This is for them to build something. Now, let there be expenses brought out of the king's treasure, he said. And let also the golden and silver vessels, which Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple, let them be returned. Hallelujah. Brought back again to the temple. And he saw them. And let everyone go back and in their place. And so, he found out this, and then he made commandment to the governor and everything. He said, now therefore, you know, let this work of this house of God alone. Let the governors and the Jews and the elders, let these people build. I make a decree what ye shall do to the elders of these Jews for the building of this house of God, that of their king's goods and of the tribute, all the taxes and so forth from all the regions, bring them and give it to these people. And let expenses be given unto them so that they will build this thing. Hallelujah. So that's the second phase of this thing. You know, there must be a transfer of wealth that God will command from those that have amassed the wealth, you know, or it will fall into the hands of the builders. Kingdom builders. That's right. It's coming into their hands. These things are all prophetic and are declaring for today. Now, listen to this. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 22, the wealth of the sinner. Well, the first part talks about a righteous man and so forth, laying up, you know, wealth and so forth for the generations after, right? So, you know, a good man, he leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. But the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. This wealth of the sinner is described again in James chapter 5. I covered this briefly also yesterday. James chapter 5 of prophetically written for the last days. In the last days, these things will happen. You know, all the rich men, you know, he said, well, you're going to, you've had your time, but your time of weeping and howling is coming. Your miseries are coming upon you. Your riches will now be corrupted. It will be taken from you. Your garments and so forth, your gold and silver, which you have laid up. Hallelujah. You know, it's going to be even a witness against you. You have heaped up treasure together for the last days. You know, you got this treasure in the back, over the backs of the laborers that you hired. You even cheated them out of their wages. They cried, you know, but you cheated them by fraud, you know. I mean, the rich getting richer, the poor getting poorer, and all these things. And you've gripped all these things together. And say, well, the cry has come to the ears of the Lord. You have lived in pleasure. You had your time. But now there is a shift coming. Hallelujah. But let the just, see, be patient. The just shall live by their faith. Let them be patient unto the coming of the Lord. See, brethren, be patient. The coming of the Lord is in phases. Ladies and gentlemen, phase one, the Exodus. Come out of there and come and meet with me, that you may serve me and give you an opportunity for you to have a time of refreshing. That's number one phase. Number two phase, a transfer of wealth. Hallelujah. Praise God. And number three phase, the rebuilding of the kingdom with this wealth. Now, when the kingdom is ready, then the saints shall announce the entry of the King of Kings. Hallelujah. Come and take possession. You know, there's one song that says, and they shall crown him, you know, King of Kings. It's already King of Kings, but there's something that the saints must do. Hallelujah. And in order for them to do it, you know, all this time we thought that the kingdom of God was just, you know, I mean, it's been like an enigma. Nobody really understood it. It's like something abstract. You know, I mean, it's neither here nor there. Nobody ever understood it. And even when Jesus said, the kingdom of God is in your heart and within you, people thought, well, you know, we don't really know what this kingdom is all about. Well, that was then. This is now. The kingdom of God is both spiritual and physical. That's right. Daniel talked about the kingdom of God, even the physical aspect of it. In Daniel chapter 2, when Daniel was, you know, interpreting the dream, people call it the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Well, so be it. But Daniel dreamed the dream himself too. So, it's amazing. Nobody had ever dreamed somebody's dream before. I mean, these people are trailblazers. I mean, Daniel did something nobody has ever done. I mean, usually you tell the dream to the soothsayers, the magicians, the astrologers, and so forth. Then they tell you the interpretation. But this man said, I can't remember my dream. You need to tell me my dream. They told him, nobody does that. You tell us the dream and we tell you the interpretation. How can we tell you your dream? We were not there. You know, but this man, Daniel, yeah, he pierced all that veil and he got in there by the, you know, help of his friends. They prayed and yeah, the Lord revealed it to him. So Daniel saw the vision and the dream over again. And with that, God also gave interpretation and he began to explain. He said, look, God doubled this dream to you because he wants to show you, you know, some things. This is the things that are coming. He said, look, you know, God showed you this dream. Sorry, not doubled. God showed you this dream, you know, to show you the things because you were thinking in your heart, you know, the what will come upon the earth. And so God was going to show you these things. So he began to tell him, you know, the head of gold that you saw because he saw this great image, a gold, silver, brass, you know, iron, clay and all these things. He said, well, you are this head of gold. So it's like kingdoms that are coming. You know, a king is synonymous with a kingdom. You know, there's no kingdom without a king. And there's no king without a kingdom. You can't be a king and have no kingdom. And there can't be a kingdom if there is no king. So when he talks of kings, it's really kingdoms that he's talking about. So Daniel began to explain it. You are the head of gold. And after you, there will come another inferior kingdom. You know, that silver is inferior to gold. And he began to explain it to him. And down through the ages, and yet another one, and so on and so forth. But here is the interesting part. This is the part that I love. You know, yeah, I wasn't there in the time of, you know, Babylon and Medo-Persia and all these, you know, Grecian empire and so on. You know, we were not there, but we are here. And here is where we are in this vision that Daniel was bringing out. In the days of these kings, you know, as they come one after the other and these kingdoms are rising upon the world and so forth, you know, he said, look, as you were looking, remember you saw that there was a stone that was cut out of a mountain without hands. You saw it, right? Yeah. And you also saw, you know, apart from, you know, the mixing of the clay and iron and all, you also saw about the same time, you saw that, you know, there was this thing that began to form. And it became a great mountain and it, you know, filled the earth. You saw it though. Yeah. And you saw how that stone smashed that image. And yeah, Nebuchadnezzar said, yep, I remember. I said, well, let me tell you, this is the interpretation. The dream is certain and the interpretation is sure. And here is what is going to happen. Hallelujah. Whereas he said that you saw these things. Well, it means that in Daniel chapter 2:44, he told him, in the days of these kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Now, this kingdom, ladies and gentlemen, this is what must be built with the transfer of wealth. God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And that kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these other kingdoms. That's right. Praise God. And it shall stand forever. Now, those other kingdoms were physical kingdoms. So, this other kingdom of God is also physical in this sense. There's a spiritual part to it, but there's a physical part as well. And in the physical part, he said, look, whereas you saw that this will happen, well, this is the same thing that God is showing you what will happen. Praise the Lord. In that day, hallelujah, God will cause something to happen. Daniel further went to talk about it. The stone, he said, which at this initially you saw, it was like cut out of, you know, a mountain without hands. The same stone will develop to fill the whole earth. Thou saw it, a stone that was cut out with our hands, which smote the image, and so forth. You can read that in verse 34. And he said, look, after I smote the image, the clay, the iron, the brass, the gold, and everything, they broke into pieces and became like chaff. Carry them, and there was no place found for them. The kingdoms of this world, they are vanishing away. People don't know it yet, you know. And some people are actually enjoying. They want to be part of the kingdom. They want to do this. And well, that's fine. But those kingdoms are best. They are doomed. The kingdoms of this world, their future is revealed here in this chapter 2 of Daniel. At best, they are doomed. And they will be destroyed. Hallelujah. And, you know, this stone that was cut out with our hands, God's the one that spoke it out. You know, it will become a great mountain and it will fill the whole earth. That's right. The whole earth shall be full of the glory of the Lord. You know, whether the devil likes it or not, it is going to happen. And God is setting up for it to happen. And so the Lord further showed him something in Daniel chapter 7. Begin to prophesy about this kingdom, you know, how it is, you know, said, look, God showed him some of these kingdoms again, you know, and this time around showing to him like, you know, animals and different things and so forth. But, you know, he began to see, even saw the little horn, he saw all these things, you know, and finally he said, look, you know, one saint I heard said to another saint, you know, what is this? How long shall this vision be? Concerning daily sacrifice, transgression of desolation, you know, to give both the sanctuary, you know, and host, all these things. They began to discuss. You know, now they are understanding timings, just like the children of Isaac. They begin to understand, like Daniel also understand by the books. They begin to understand, well, how long should these things be? Well, Daniel said, well, you know, I saw again, I was looking as this saint was talking to another saint and saying, how long shall they be? Well, the next thing I saw, glory to God. He said, look, I saw, you know, one like unto the Son of Man, you know, brought, you know, to one that was like the Ancient of Days. And they saw him. He said, wow, I saw this thing happening. And something was given over to the saints of the Most High. Now just think about it. You know, think about it. These things are coming, ladies and gentlemen. It's coming. Let me read it to you in Daniel chapter 7. You know, said you saw all these things, and I beheld till the thrones were cast down. Now, so all these thrones representing kingdoms will be cast down. The ancient of days will now sit upon his own throne. And he began to describe what he saw. His garment was as snow and all these things. You know, and his throne was like a fiery, you know, wheels of burning, a stream issued. 10,000 and 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set. The books were opened. You know, and the beast, well, was slain. And all the rest of the beasts and had their dominion taken away. All those kingdoms, their dominion, their influence was taken away. That's dominion is influence. The influence that he had was taken away. The mystery of iniquity. God's going to deal with it finally, you know, and take it away. Hallelujah. And then one like a son of man, coming in the clouds of heaven, came to the ancient of days, brought him near him, and there was given to him a new dominion. He had a new influence upon the earth, you know, and a glory and a kingdom presented. All the people, all the nations, all the languages, you serve him. And his dominion, his influence now, you know, and his reign and authority, you know, and his rulership, dominion is also rulership, will be an everlasting one. When he starts, he'll come in like a flood, saith the Lord, and overtake the world, and shall not pass away, and his kingdom that we shall not be destroyed. Praise the Lord. And when you fast forward to the end of the book, from Genesis to Revelation, when you fast forward to Revelation 11 and verse 15, when the seventh angel sounded, you know, there was a series of things that John was seeing from Revelation chapter 5. He saw the Lamb take the book. Nobody else could do it, but he did. The Lamb did. And when he began to open the seals, which nobody else could, John cried a lot because of it. As the Lamb began to open the seals, some things began to open up in a vision. Deeper. He was going deeper into that vision. And John, he saw it. And then he opened one seal. He saw something. Opened another seal. Saw something. By the time he got to the seventh seal, there was silence. And then out of that seal, we saw something else that happened. We read it the other day. The mighty angel, ready to possess the earth. His right foot upon the seas, left foot upon the land, raised up his hand. Daniel chapter 10, Revelation 10. And swear by him that liveth, that there shall be time no more. That means no more delay. That means it is now time. We covered this when we did the season. It is now time. And then he said, look, but there is coming. Something is yet to happen. You know, these... you know, out of the seventh seal, it came out these trumpets, and they were being blowing their trumpets. And first trumpet blew, and some things happened. Seventh trumpet blew, and out of those seven, when the seventh trumpet blew, came out also, you know, I mean, the vials came out, poured out. But when the seventh, but this angel announced, he said, look. When he announced it, Revelation chapter 10, when he lifted up his hand and swore by him that liveth forever and ever that there should be no more delay, it is now time. Glory to God. And remember, I told you the other day that this mighty angel is not just an angel. You know, there is something about him that's couched in here. You know, he saw him as a covenant angel here, but, you know, there is something about him. How do we know the covenant angel? Well, the rainbow is on his head. You know, that's a covenant rainbow. It's upon his head. You know, and his face was as it were the sun. Same vision that he saw in the first early chapters of Revelation. His feet were like pillars of fire. And he had a little book. This same book that he picked up in chapter 5, it's now open. He has it in his hand. You know, it's a book of redemption is the title deed to the earth, the heavens, everything else. Now it's about to claim everything. The earth in particular. Now, this whole destination was about the earth. That's it. You know, that's what God had in mind before, you know, created heaven and earth, but the focus of heaven was upon the earth as far as it relates to us. The story that God was telling us was he created man to have dominion over the earth, and that dominion would have brought an extension of the kingdom of heaven onto the earth. You know, and that's the way it was. But the fall and all of that, we lost it. But it's got to be restored. And Jesus is the one that is now restoring it. He said in Luke 22 and 29, that I am appointing unto you a kingdom, even as my Father appointed to me. So this angel, this is none but the Lord. He stood up here and he cried like a lion roar. You know, the lion of Judah is inside of him. You know, and when he cried, seven thunders, you know, it is his, to his voice alone that those thunders responded. Remember, David said, the Lord, you know, answered me when I prayed. He thundered with a voice like, you know, come out of his temple like that. So when the Lord speaks, those thunders can respond. When those thunders responded, John actually heard and understood all the things they said, you know, and the things had to do with how the Lord will bring in everlasting righteousness, how it will cause this shift, and how everything will come back and anoint the most holy and make Christ to possess all things and his children possess. You know, all of those secrets were there. And John, he heard all those things and he started to pick up his pen and write, because he was given instruction at the beginning. Write the things which thou hast seen and the things which are and the things that we shall be hereafter. That was the instruction. So he was about to write. This time I said, don't do it. Don't write it. Seal those things up. Because if you write it, the devil will get a hold of it and mess it up. So just seal it up. Seal it up. But he said, look, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when it shall begin to sound, not exactly when it sounds, but even in the days. So these days, you know, it's like something, it's a process. There are many things that will happen. Part of the sounding of that seventh angel is going on right now, ladies and gentlemen. Because that's why we played the song at the beginning, you know, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm. He's sounding it now. It's happening. But when he begins to sound, this mystery will be finished. Hallelujah. The secret of God, according to Psalm 25 and verse 14, is with them that fear the Lord. And the secret things, remember Deuteronomy 29, 29, we said it yesterday. Deuteronomy 29, 29 says, the hidden things belong unto the Lord, the secret things. Those are the Lord's. And he knows the place of thunder. He knows the secret of lightning. He knows all of these things that he asked Job about, which Job knew nothing. But those things that are revealed, but occasionally, and more so towards the end, the Lord began to reveal the secret to them that fear him. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And there's a reason why he does that. Well, as he begins to reveal this secret, they will understand that the mystery of God will be finished, which has been declaring since the world began. And finally, when the seventh angel sounded in Revelation 11 and 15, well, here is what eventually occurred. Praise the Lord. And the seventh angel sounded. Remember, I said, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when it shall begin to sound, mystery of God will be finished. Well, fast forward to Revelation 11, 15. And the seventh angel sounded. And there were great voices in heaven. And see, this is what it's all about. Saying, the kingdoms of this world, well, Daniel prophesied it, are now become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. You can announce it now. and he shall reign. Those voices were announcing it. He, the Christ, shall reign forever and ever, and his saints with him. Why? Did he not say in Revelation 3 and 21, he that overcometh will sit with me in my throne, I grant it to them, even as I overcame and am granted to sit with my Father in his throne, so even so shall all the overcomers sit with me in my throne. They will reign with him. Ha! Praise God. So, that's where it's all going. But some things are hidden. God drops some things here and there and here and there. He doesn't tell everything. But I guarantee you, God is now revealing these things. And the things that are still secret to him, well, that's his business. But the things that he has revealed to us, according to Deuteronomy 29:29, those things are for us, and for our children. Praise the Lord. And you know, even the things that were hidden, remember, in Revelation chapter 1, God told him, you know, verse 1 of Revelation 1, what was the purpose of this whole book of Revelation? Well, let's read it. It's right there in very first verse of Revelation 1. He said, this revelation of Jesus Christ, not the revelation of John, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is what the whole Bible says about this Jesus. Revelation of Jesus Christ, even though these people who wrote the Bible say revelation of John, it's not. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. The compilers of the Bible, they call it revelation of John, but we see now here it's not. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Christ to show to his servants. Now, that is to show, not to hide from his servants, but to show to his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. So that was the purpose. So even the things that are sealed, God told Daniel, seal up those things until the time of the end. Well, at the time of the end, you know, here's what the Lord said. At the time of the end, these things shall be unveiled. Hallelujah. There are some things that are hidden right now, but then they are, why are they hidden? Well, they are hidden in darkness, it seems like. Hidden, they can't be known, they can't be heard, they can't be, people can't know it at the moment, but there are many scriptures in the Gospels that talk about nothing hidden that will not be revealed. I mean, I can give you about four of them. Luke chapter 8, verse 17. There is nothing hidden, you know, that shall not be revealed. Huh. Praise God. It's all there. He will reveal it. It may look like it's hidden at first. Mark chapter 4, verse 22. It's there, the same thing. It's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. There's no secret that will not be brought to light. You know, it's a secret at one time, but it will bring it to light. Luke chapter 12, verse 2. You know, I mean, on and on and on. It just says the same thing. There is nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. That's right. You know, the way we look at it sometimes, we just think that only means, you know, some secret in somebody's life and God will reveal. Yeah, that may be true too, but he said there is nothing. You know, it just covers everything. You know, also Matthew chapter 10 and verse 26 will tell you the same thing. There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. There is nothing hidden that shall not be known. I mean, in many places throughout the Bible. So we see that these things will come. Now, the summary of today's lesson, let me read you one more revelation out of Isaiah chapter 33, and I will summarize. This is just building on what we laid out yesterday, but be patient, there's more coming. Now, in Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6, this is what the Lord is saying to us at this time. And don't forget, the coming of the Lord is in phases. come out of Egypt. Don't be in under servitude. Come out to serve me. I'll give you rest that you may serve me. That's number one. Number two, the transfer of wealth is happening. Number three, the rebuilding of the ruins and things that are falling, you know, the repair of the breach and so on and so forth. Now, the Lord is now transferring the wealth for us to do exactly that. Praise the Lord. Now, wisdom and knowledge, Isaiah 33 and verse 6, shall be the stability of your times. There is something, you know, the way that this is going to work at the end of the age is incredible wisdom, knowledge will be revealed by the inspiration of the Almighty, you know, causing us to understand some deep things that are couched and hidden, you know, and the strength of salvation is coming. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Now, these treasures of darkness that we're talking about, the fear of the Lord is the one that is going to lead us to get it. Remember, you know, Psalm 25, verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And the fear of the Lord will bring us into his treasure. There is something that God is now about to do. Let me quickly tell you about knowledge. Knowledge is so powerful. I mean, we've done a series on the pillars of wisdom. I've done it more than once. I've done lessons on knowledge. But I'm going to just tell you a few things here, because this that God is doing now on this transfer of wealth will also have to do with knowledge. Praise God. It has to be with knowledge. Well, let's read, Proverbs, chapter 3 and verses 19 and 20. But before that, let me read this one first. Proverbs 24. Let me read Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4. It is so important for us to understand the role that knowledge and understanding will play at this time. So Proverbs 24, these are the, the verses that show us incredible understanding about these pillars of wisdom. Through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding it is established. But it is by knowledge, that the chambers will be filled with all precious, pleasant riches and treasures. Now, so knowledge. See, that's why Habakkuk said at the end, glory to God, Habakkuk 2 and 14, the knowledge of the glory of God shall be like the waters cover the sea. At the end, it's going to come. But it's not for the sinners. Oh, no. It's coming into the minds of the saints. It's coming incredible knowledge and understanding. Even while you're sleeping, God will begin to seal this instruction in your hearts. Now, knowledge is what fills the chambers with precious things and pleasant things. This same truth is revealed even in God's actions. When he created the world, and he founded the earth by wisdom, he established the heavens by understanding, but it was his knowledge that hid the treasures in the earth. See, let me say that to you again. God founded the earth by wisdom. He established the heavens by understanding, but it was his knowledge that hid treasures under the earth, and it's going to take knowledge to uncover them. Now, let's read that in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. And I'm going to kind of wrap it up after that. It's been a long one already. Proverbs 3, 20, 19. By wisdom, the Lord founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. But it is by his knowledge he hid some secrets in the earth. That's why treasure, you have to dig, 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 dig before you can find those costly pearls. He hid them inside the earth by his knowledge. and you can't find it. You know, you're not going to find it on the surface. I mean, diggers, miners, exploration, and so forth, takes them months, sometimes years, but they can dig and find some of these things. So by wisdom, he founded the earth, the understanding, he established the heavens, but it is his knowledge that hid those things. That's going to take knowledge to dig them out. Praise God. So knowledge is coming. And even this series of letting you know what God is doing is also knowledge and understanding. Now, so I am going to pray that the Lord will help you. I think I've done enough of laying the background of what God is going to do. And here is something I said yesterday. Holy Spirit is reminding me to say it again. You know, the harvest, your harvest, concealed in the womb of the kingdom, and is now ready to emerge. Now, the kingdom is pregnant, so to speak. It needs to birth something, but we must build it, nurture it, and so forth, you know, until it's ready to birth. It's kind of like a pregnant lady. You got to nurture, do something, you know, until she's ready to birth. Praise God. Now, the womb of the kingdom has some things in it. Right. And God is now revealing it here a little, there a little. But that whatever is coming out of that womb, they are ready to emerge. Glory to God. We've been talking about emerging and so forth. But it's coming. These are the stages to it. The emerging is in stages. See, God is revelation is progressive. When we began to prophesy it last year, we didn't know how it was coming. Maybe we knew, maybe we didn't, but God didn't reveal it. And then we prophesied the, you know, advancement, the you know, the quantum leap, but still God didn't show the how. Now it's building upon all that because revelation is progressive. Now it's showing us how, coming in stages, where you come out, Exodus, and the transfer away. So now we are in the time leading up to the transfer of wealth. And when it begins to happen, what we must do with it is to build. I will rebuild, saith the Lord, the tabernacles of David that are falling down. Now, Father, I pray over the room. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Let everyone that has heard these things receive understanding. That's right. And this is coming into the hands of those that have the kingdom mandate. And they understand it. Not church exactly, but kingdom. Hallelujah. Now, we'll get more into that later. Once they understand it, and not personal too either. It's not, we're not trying to build something for ourselves. You know, we're not trying to, Paul said, look, we do not speak about ourselves. You know, we don't preach about ourselves. You know, so, but there's something coming. Jesus, send them out. Go and tell them about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. Well, they did for some time and then the message was lost. But at the end, we got to come back to it because now God is fixing to bring everything to a head. So Lord, give understanding to your people. Give power. Hallelujah. The Lord said, I will give power to my two witnesses and they shall prophesy. Now, Lord, I pray that you give power to the saints, even as it is written at this time, that they will now come into wisdom and understanding and begin to publish the word of God. The God of heaven gives the word, and saints upon the earth, great will be their company that will publish it in Jesus' name. The Lord give wisdom and understanding to everybody and cause us to inherit even glory. Hallelujah. Even the throne of glory, which I inherited. But Jesus said, you will sit with me on that throne. Praise the Lord. But first, we show and do something upon the earth. Father, take them not from the earth, Jesus prayed. They got something to do here upon the earth. Now, give them the grace to be able to do it, Jesus said. I pray not only for these, but even for all those who down through the ages will hear about these. Hallelujah. And he said, Heavenly Father, it is time. The hour has come. Thank you, Lord. We give you the praise and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.